A beautiful heaven must be. Great song. We're having a beautiful day today. So today the earth is also beautiful, but not near as beautiful as the description that we read in God's Word of heaven. We're grateful for your presence today. If you're visiting with us, we invite you back with us. And we appreciate all our regular members and attendees. As usual, men and women were rising to go to their jobs that morning. Others were busy getting their kids off to school. And in Africa, a child was whimpering in his sleep because he had not had food for days. And in America, a preacher was looking through his Bible, looking through sermon outline books, and trying to decide which sermon would be preached the following week. He shouldn't have bothered. There was no warning. Life with its good, with its beautiful weather, with its bad weather, was going on as usual. And then it happened. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The second coming of Christ. This morning I would like for us to look at God's word concerning the second coming of Christ. Many do not believe that he came the first time. And although some do believe that he came, many appear to be living as if they didn't know that and didn't expect him to come again. And when it comes to the second coming of Christ, when it comes to what we refer to as the end of the world, it's really something we'd rather not think about. All there are people out making all kind of predictions throughout history. They've done that, trying to set aside a certain day that they picked out, and they'd be better not bothering about it. We wishfully conclude that maybe it won't happen. Not going to happen in our lifetime because, you see, it hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. Even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, one of the things we remember is we remember Jesus until his coming again. And thus, each first day of the week, we are reminding ourselves. And we are reminded that yes, one day Jesus is coming again. We want to look this morning at the fact of his coming and the manner of his coming. Next week we'll look at what will happen when he comes. In Philippians 3:20 and 21, the Apostle Paul, as guided by the Spirit of God, speaks of heaven. He says, for our conversation, King James, or manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And John would speak in 1 John 3, verses 1 and 3 on this same subject. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, the Son of God. As for the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Heaven. Second coming of Jesus, are we looking forward to that time with hope? With great expectation, with desire. Paul and John in these verses of Philippians and 1 John, they're emphatic in their teaching that Jesus will come again. I mean, it's a fact. If we believe in Christ, we believe in God, we believe in the Bible, that's one of the things that the Bible teaches. Paul says in the Philippian reference that we should live in such a manner that our eyes are focused upon heaven. And that we're ever looking for the Savior to return. In 1 John 3, John speaks of this hope. This hope. You know, Peter says that we're to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within us. This hope, John says, is a hope that, according to verse 2 of that reading, can be known. It's not I hope thing. It's a I know thing, John says. Like one writer in a commentary of 1 John entitles it, Hereby We Know. Hereby we know. So we who are Christians look forward to that coming with assurance. And we sing the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus mine is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, how beautiful heaven must be. While Jesus was upon this earth, he promised that he would return. He promised that he would return. His apostles, as that last week of his life was approaching, his apostles were discouraged. And Jesus said, among other things in John 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I promise you, those are not in there, but I will come again, he says. I will come again. That where I am, there ye may be also. A promise. Promise guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. The city of Athens, a city of much learning, there in the Areopagus area on Mars Hill, Paul is preaching to those who had much learning. And he's talking about the quote, unknown God. And among the things he says as he closes his lesson, or the recorded lesson, are these. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But he now commendeth all of men everywhere to repent. To repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained or appointed, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Paul knew in many instances that the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus was not a popular teaching. It got him run out of many a town. But God here demanded repentance, as Paul said. God said, Paul said, God no longer accepts excuses of ignorance. I didn't know. I didn't know that that's what that preacher was saying. I didn't know when I read that verse that it really meant that. Boy, I read it and then I studied it, but there's a day appointed that Jesus will judge. There's a day appointed for such judging. There's assurance. Assurance given to all that we will be raised because he was. In just a few moments we'll read from 1 Thessalonians 4. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, Paul, in writing to the church of Thessalonica, had many things to say about the second coming of Christ. You see, they were concerned. They had been taught, but there was something going on in their thinking and in the discussions that they were having after Paul and others had left. Some things that were troubling them about Jesus coming again. And here in this first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, in verse 7, he says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, the Lord is coming, Paul said. Doesn't matter, he said, how you are might be straying from the teaching, from what I taught you, as directed by God. The Lord is coming again. The Lord promised he would, and his resurrection is a guarantee of that promise. We could look at many other scriptures that testify of the fact of his coming. In fact, I think I looked one time, and in each chapter in 1 Thessalonians, in each chapter in 2 Thessalonians, something is mentioned specifically or alluded to about the second coming of Christ. So that's the fact of his coming. We can read that from God's Word. The fact of his coming. It's not there just in one place. It's there in several places. Paul taught that lesson. Jesus taught that lesson many, many different times. Jesus was about to be taken from this earth. The apostles were still concerned about his kingdom. And they would not really understand until later. But in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, we have this reading. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Acts 1 verse 9. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The manner of his coming. There's another promise too, isn't it, of Jesus coming. A word of encouragement. These men were going forth to carry out that great commission of teaching the lost. And there would be times they would be discouraged. Times when maybe they'd feel like turning back. Jesus will return as he left. He left in the clouds. He left going up into heaven, ascending. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, as we have another reading from 1 Thessalonians, or from the Thessalonican letters concerning the second coming. These people needed some comfort about their friends and loved ones who had died. What will happen to them when Jesus comes again? What will happen to them when Jesus comes again? They couldn't figure it out. And so Paul wrote them. The Spirit guided him. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with 13. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Thessalonians, rather. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, or which who have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or shall not go before them which are asleep, those who have died. Now, the Lord said, or Luke said he would come down in the same manner, that's what these two angels said, in the manner in which he had left. Paul here says in verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. There's always been sorrow. There's always been uncertainty about death, about the grave, and about what lies beyond. And we all want to know more about it. And of course, the Bible doesn't tell us all about it, but the Bible does tell us a lot about it. And these Christians at Thessalonica were concerned about the eternal destiny of their loved ones who had passed away. Paul said, don't sorrow as those who don't have hope. You have hope, and they have hope. I've read someplace some years ago that upon the walls of the catacombs beneath Rome are found some epitaphs for the dead who were buried there many years ago. And some of the pagan epitaphs say things like these. Live for the present hour, since we are sure of nothing else. I lift up my eyes against the gods who took me away at the age of 20, though I had done no harm. And the third, traveler, curse me not as you pass, for I'm in darkness and cannot answer. Hopelessness is depicted there, isn't it? Hopelessness. But then I'm told that on some tombs of some Christians, I don't know what age period, but in some catacombs were found epitaphs that rang out with a sheer joy of immortality, about eternity. Here lies Marcia, put in rest in a dream of peace with one. Lawrence to his sweetest son, born away of angels. Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica were words of hope, weren't they? They were not words of hopelessness, but they were words of hope. And they're words of hope for us today. Because one day Jesus is coming. Like we have a song in one of the books. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. But there's some sounds that talk about here as far as Jesus coming again. He will descend from heaven, and there's some sounds that will accompany his coming. First of all, the Bible says there will be a shout. And in John 5:28, John records for us concerning the resurrection of Lazarus. Well, not the resurrection of Lazarus there, but he said at that particular point that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, hear the voice of Jesus. Remember, Jesus had spoken at Lazarus' grave these words, "Lazarus, come forth." And the words of Jesus brought that man back from the dead. There'll be the voice. There'll be a shout. A shout of Jesus. Shout means an order, a command, or a signal of arousal. Then it says there'd be the voice of the archangel. And Michael is spoken of as the archangel in Jude 9 and Revelation 12 and verse 7. Also there's spoken of the trump of God. The trump of God, the one incident in which the trumpet of God was heard was at Mount Sinai when the law of Moses was given. It was blown. It was exceeding loud, the Bible says. And all that were there that heard it trembled. Exodus 19:16. First Corinthians 15, Apostle Paul deals at length with the gospel, with aspects of the resurrection. In verse 52 of that chapter, he says that the last trump, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." For my study this morning, we can see that the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is coming again. And this sermon is not a scare tactic. It is a lesson that should arouse us. It should give us a warning. Maybe to some it's a wake-up call, as young people would say today. Hello? God is still there. The Bible is still there. It teaches the same thing now as it taught when Paul taught these lessons, when Jesus spoke these words. The Bible clearly teaches the manner in which he's coming. And next week, I mentioned earlier, we will look at the subject, what will happen when Jesus comes again? What will happen when Jesus comes again? The day Christ came again, these things are known, that Christ is coming. That Christ could come before this day is over, before this minute is over. When Christ comes, according to scriptures I read, everyone will know it. He will not sneak in while everybody's asleep. Folks may be asleep, but there will be no sneaking. Everyone will know. It's like a thief in the night, meaning we won't be prepared maybe at that time thinking that that's the particular time he is coming. When Christ comes, everyone will also know where they stand with God. Where they stand with God. Am I ready for the day that the Lord will come again? Am I ready for that day to come? If as a Christian, I have great hope for those who are non-Christians, this is a warning. For those of us who may not be as dedicated as we need to be, maybe it's a wake-up call. Hopefully we never become like the church at Ephesus is spoken of in the book of Revelation. That church was bragged upon by Jesus. But they had left their first love. They had left their first love. The church at Laodicea had a problem and didn't think they had a problem. They had folks who were on fire for the Lord. Well, they needed folks on fire for the Lord, but they had folks who were lukewarm. Who were lukewarm. And Jesus said he would rather that they be on fire or be just totally cold. Am I ready for the day that the Lord will come again? This morning we'll sing a song to encourage those who are not Christians to come to Christ today, to confess your faith in Jesus today. If you studied from God's Word, if you studied with someone, and you've come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, to turn, and be baptized into Christ in obedience to your faith in Christ, and to rise from baptism to walk a new life, a new creature, living for Jesus. As a Christian, if you need our prayers this morning, if you need to rededicate your life in a public way, if you need to in a private way, pray to God that He'll be with each of us and help us to be more like Jesus. Would you come if you have the need? As we stand, we say.